Welcome, Arizona. Come on around back here with me and see if we can't find Mr. John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery and see what he's working on in the lawn and garden today as we hit, I don't know, what's our high supposed to be today? Not 100, that's all I really care.
95.
95. I can live with 95 all day long.
You know, it could be that way year-round for me. 60-90 weather. That's 65 nights, 95 days. You know, there'd
wouldn't hurt my feelings.
Except that there'd be like 52 million people.
You couldn't move. It's true.
No hurricanes, no typhoons,
right.
No snow. 95 degrees, worst. Yeah, man, you wouldn't be able to stir it with a stick, baby.
You're tuned in to Rosie on the House, your Arizona Saturday morning tradition. And if you have a landscape or garden question, no matter what part of the great state of Arizona you live in, the lines are open and waiting for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-800-ROSIE-4U. Text questions to 411-923 or email pictures, comments, videos to info@rosieonthehouse.com. That's how you communicate with the program, and we'll do our best to answer each and every one of your questions. If we don't get it on air, we will get it afterwards. Jennifer's waiting for your call. Mike's on the board. Rosie's sitting here hanging out, waiting for something to die so he can use his chainsaw and fire it up. And Jay's here to answer your questions. Where do we start, or where don't we start?
Well, that's kind of it. So we're virtually, this weekend, by the end of the weekend, going to be the middle of October. So October the 15th for years was the magic day for putting in winter lawns. If you go back and read all the old county extension bulletins, and it's kind of creeped earlier than that because of all the golf courses that we have now, and they start early, so people
but think, they cheat.
Well, they do cheat, actually. they have the resources to cheat, and they have to cheat. They want to be playing by now because the weather's nice and people are out wanting to play golf. They can't just be starting to oversee now. But they also spend a lot of money on fungicides and extra seed and all the stuff that you have to do when you do start this early. So we really recommend, and a lot of homeowners have already done it, but this is really about the best time. Mid-60s at night, mid-90s in the day. So if you're thinking about putting in that winter lawn, you want a nice green lawn for the winter months when you're spending most of your time outside. My opinion is we ought to grow winter lawns and
forget the summer.
And not worry so much about the summer lawns. We'd have to do a little work with our code enforcement friends to not be writing people up for having dead lawns in the summertime. But, you know, frankly, if you think about places in the Midwest and back east where their lawns are under snow or it's frozen ground all winter, they don't have a winter lawn. They have a lawn only in the summertime. So just a little vote for winter lawns. And you don't have to do the front and the back. You can just do the back or just do the front. That's when you're spending your time out of doors, enjoying the out of doors. That's when your garden ought to look its best, and you ought to be emphasizing and putting your effort into your garden from here on through the nice months of the year. We've got about 8 nice months coming. So
it's enjoyable to have that little escape outside of mowing when it's 70 degrees, 75 degrees. There's nothing like getting out there with that Bermuda and it itches bad enough by itself, but when you're out there sweating and sticky.
And quite honestly, about half the winter, you don't even have to mow every week. It's cold enough, it slows down. You know, it's more enjoyable. You don't have to do it as often. But frankly, you know, from here on, we cook outside. We eat outside. We live pretty much other than sleeping. And, you know, that wouldn't be half bad to do outside right now either. So this is the time when your garden, whether it's a winter lawn or we're planting now all the winter flowers, geraniums and petunias and pansies and snapdragons and alyssum and on and on and on and on. Your winter vegetables, it's time to plant. Yeah, citrus. We've got a big load of citrus in the last couple of days. So it's a great time to get citrus trees, shade trees, vines. We've got this phenomenon here that hardly any other place in the country has of these beautiful, warm, you know, these soils are still summertime warm. So they incubate those roots. And the roots have to get started before a plant can grow anyway. So we're putting plants in warm soil with cooling temperatures in the air, which is less stress, less watering, less transpiration on the foliage of the plant. It's just an unbelievable combination of getting a plant established before next summer's hot weather hits. Once next spring starts to warm up, those plants will be rooted and the growth will explode. You gain really almost a whole year by planting this time of year, a few months ahead of time. So there really isn't much we can't be doing. A couple of things, you know, a little bit, I don't want to be negative, but boy, we're seeing lots of caterpillars on stuff. Lots and lots and lots. All of the Tacomas, so the yellow bells, the orange bells, the Sparkies, the Fuegos, all the different hybrids of our Tacomas are just being ravaged by caterpillars. So be looking for those. You can treat those with an organic product called Spinosad. Works very effectively, but you got to stay on top of it. Vegetables, there's little loopers and little green caterpillars that love leafy green vegetables. So if you've planted a garden, be looking for those on your vegetable plants. Seen lots of big green tomato hornworms on people that planted a fall vegetable garden with tomatoes and peppers. And so if you see lots of butterflies, you probably got some caterpillars.
Interesting.
So you may love the butterflies, and a lot of people are butterfly gardening, and they don't mind the caterpillars eating some of their plants. But if you've planted something that you want to eat, you might want to do a little protection there. Again, there's an organic product called Dipel or Thuricide or BT that's very effective and very safe to use on those as well.
Boy, you can't talk this time of year without getting people to their clock, right? And I want to talk about that, but let's take the first call that's been getting in. But what do we do with our water right now?
Right, good idea.
A very important topic.
Eddie's first on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. As we clear a call, that's your best opportunity to get online. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys. Pleasure talking to you. I'm a second-time caller. I called about a loquat tree about a year ago, and finally it's blooming, but I'm getting a lot of mixed answers as to if I should knock the flowers off the first time it blooms in order to make it stronger for the following year. Do I do that, or do I enjoy the fruits this year?
I'm sorry. I did not catch the kind of tree it was.
It's a loquat.
Loquat. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't knock the flowers off, and if the tree is healthy and it's doing very well, you know, if it was one you had just planted like last year, I would have maybe taken the fruit off. If you want to thin it and not let every fruit develop, but you don't need to knock the flower. Let the flower stay on and just take the fruit off if it even sets, because sometimes, yeah, I mean, you won't get every one of those to set a fruit anyway, probably. So,
yeah, you're right. Some do and some don't.
Yeah.
So it would be a good idea to leave them on there?
I think at this point, the tree's been in the ground over a year. I think it should be able to sustain a crop. Now, I might thin it and not let every fruit, you know, so looking for better quality fruit, bigger fruit, and less of them, you can go in and remove some of the fruit if they're too close together, depending on how they're spaced.
And I haven't really eaten a lot of loquats in my day. But this isn't like an apple tree where you could bake it. I can't imagine eating every single loquat that comes off that tree anyway. So even if he thins it, he's probably still
depends on
has
how much
more,
you like loquats.
Right. He has more fruit than he's going to be able to consume.
Perhaps. I never even heard of a loquat.
It's kind of a citrus thing.
Oh, I'm Wikipediaing it right now.
It's about the size of an apricot or smaller.
By the next commercial break, I'm going to be a loquat expert.
There you go. A lot of Middle Eastern people like them. Yeah, they're okay.
All right, let's talk watering.
Yes, let's do. So if you are not putting in a winter lawn, you should be cutting your lawns. Now, here's a testimony to how much you can cut your lawn watering back right now. I turned my sprinklers off because I'm going to scout my lawn tomorrow. So I've had them off for 2 weeks. You can hardly tell. My lawn's still green.
Mine's been off three right after.
So
right after our birthday party, third week of September, it gets shut off, and there's only one spot that's brown.
Yeah,
I finally got kind of
a brown spot in the middle. So that's a testimony as to how much less you could water now as you were watering a month ago. So if you're not planting a winter lawn, certainly keep watering your lawn, but cut it way back. Maybe once a week now would be plenty.
That's less than half, right?
Yeah, about a fourth probably.
Yeah.
Here's my rule of thumb. The Harper boys came up with this, and it's not scientific, but whatever you are watering in the summer and you are having success in your lawn, your garden, your trees, your shrubs look good in the summer, by about the middle of October, you can be half of that.
Okay.
And what we like to cut is the frequency, not the duration. We always want to water as long and deep as we can to encourage deep rooting.
That's important.
Okay. So half as frequent now, and then by December, we're going to go half as frequent again. So wintertime is a fourth as often as summertime. So if you were watering once a week in the summer, you really ought to be able to go once a month in the winter, and then somewhere in between in the middle of spring and the middle of fall.
Check your water consumption records with the city. They show you your this year's use compared to last year. You know, hold yourself accountable to this. John Jay and I challenged each other to see at our own homes, could we save 10%? And the 1 year we challenged each other that.
We have all kinds of leaks.
I have a water main leak at my house, but you have a water main leak at the same time.
Yeah.
So, but I'm still on track, even with that leak, that by year end, I'll be at a little over 10% savings. And it was not hard to do.
Well, my water bill and electric bill, this last one that just came, so that's September's, right?
Yep.
Half of August's. Yeah.
It's nice when you can see those.
Yeah.
Better days are coming, at least for the next 9 months.
That's right.
So they inch back up. We're going to get to Steve right after this quick break. He's in Tucson and wants to talk about pumpkin vines. And we've got a room for you at 1-888-767-4348.